Podcast meeting brilliant minds and looking at the world around them. How do they 360 themselves and 360 the world? Jamie Neal, the host, asks many questions about their mindset and how they fundamentally operate their world and the world around them. Here at 360 Yourself, we are very proud and honored to be partnered with General Assembly. We embrace this with open arms to a new adventure. General Assembly is a global tech education company focused on the most in-demand areas today. So that's anything from UX, digital marketing, coding, data science, data analytics, to travel writing and ethics. Our/their main goal is to get you where you want to be. You can find out more about them at ga.co online or across all socials at ga_London. We also encourage you to please rate and comment about us on Apple Podcasts. If you do enjoy what we bring to your ears, we'd love to hear about it. We're supported by General Assembly, and that's right, you can get a 25% discount for their services. Promo code is 360yourself25. The code will be valid up to £75 off any one of their classes, workshops and boot camps, and is valid until the 31st 08 2021, and is not applicable to GA's full-time, part-time or online circuit courses. Full T's and C's apply. Hello and welcome back to 360 Yourself. I hope you're having a good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome back to 360 Yourself. You've got me, the host, Jamie Neal. So, one thing that I've been chatting to people about is being in the moment. And sometimes we think we're in the moment, but we're really not in the moment because we're thinking about being in the moment. It's sort of one of those inception sort of things where you're going, you know what, I really need to start being in the moment. And then you take yourself out of the moment because you're thinking about being in the moment rather than just being in the moment. It's one of those tongue-tied sort of things. So the best thing I think sometimes to do is actually just don't think anything. Just like think of the simplistic things that are around you, like colours, smells, what do you see, what do you hear? And I think that taps into the sort of present moment rather than thinking, being in your head. Because sometimes we get so heady, we're like, oh, I should really be in the moment. I really want to be in the moment. And then suddenly we're not in the moment because we're thinking about being in the moment. So have a moment to yourself just to like look around and look at the sky, look at the things that are around you, look at the conversations that are happening. And I think that brings you into the moment rather than thinking you're in the moment and not actually being in the moment. Because time does really go so fast and you really want to cherish all those moments. So talking about this and following on to basically my next guest, who I'm an absolute massive fan of. I mean, she is like been dominating the music video world and she's worked up with the most amazing artists. And she's like, well, I mean, her famous iconic video was Gnarls Barkley Going On, which I absolutely love. Her name is Wendy Morgan. If you don't know her directing work, please, please, please go and check it out because she's won so many awards for her work. And she's just such a beautiful, lovely person. You'll definitely hear this from the episode. So enjoy. Hey, Wendy, how are you doing?
I'm great, thank you. How are you, Jamie?
Very, very well. I'm currently in Devon at the moment in time where it is very, very sunny because we're going into spring now. I think when you live in the countryside like I do, I think when you're in the kind of winter periods, it can be a bit like
I don't know, a bit depressing, but like when you're in the countryside, when it's sunny and spring, it's like the best thing ever. Like, who wants to be in the city when you've got sun and like nature?
So you moved out there during the pandemic, or?
I did.
Or did you always live out there?
Well, so I had a place in London, and then I was going back and forth between another country, and then COVID happened, and then I kind of gave up both my places, went back to Devon because my family were like, we want all the family together riding this thing out, and I was like, fair enough, I can do a month.
Oh, that's really cool. That's yeah. cute.
So we all came back together. We all gave up our flats and stuff, and we all came back for like a month we thought it was going to be a month, and then suddenly wasn't going to be a month. It was going to be a couple of months, and then I got to the point where I was like, okay, I'll move away. I'll go live in Spain or something. And then suddenly we went into another lockdown, and then we go into another lockdown. You're right. Like, okay. Mm-hmm. So I've just been kind of back and forth between here and London, just doing my thing.
Wow. That sounds good though. I think the people who've managed to escape the city have been pretty smart.
So. I know everyone that I know has left the city, especially in New York as well. Like loads of my friends have left New York. Loads of my friends have left London. They're just like, I know, because it's all remote now. It's
true, yeah.
Especially even as a director, like I have friends who are shooting like everything in London, and then like they're remotely shooting in like three different countries at the same time. And I think that's mental.
I have yet to do a remote shoot. I don't know how well I'd do with that, but yeah, I'm willing to try it. But I feel like that era is ending too. There's a lot of COVID shooting now, sort of like with lots of tests and, you know.
I mean, I take
people are adapting.
I do so many COVID tests at the moment. It's because you either have the one up your nose or you have the finger prick one, which is not very pleasant. But so, whereabouts are you at this moment in time in life?
I'm in Paris, just west of Paris, in my apartment. Where I live with my husband and my three children, and we have not escaped to the countryside. We did actually. We escaped to the Dominican Republic for a month and a bit in the fall, and we considered staying, but it didn't end up working out. When we wanted the kids to finish their year of school here in France. So actually, that's the thing. France has not shut schools except for the initial lockdown. So for us being here, as long as I can work every day and send my kids off to school, it's been enough for me. So
yeah, because am I wrong in thinking that at the moment Paris is in, or France is in, red alert at the moment? Because I think you sort of had a spike.
We're in some kind of there's a curfew, everything is closed except for essential stores, and but it's kind of been this way for many months. Like, it's like there's been these little windows of, like, restaurants haven't been open since before Christmas. Like, it's, so this is just kind of what we're used to.
Normal.
Like, we have like little contraband sometimes get togethers at home and go out for runs, and it, you know, we're weirdly getting used to it. You know,
yeah. Here, so have you always lived in Paris then? And what kind of made you go to Paris?
No, I've lived here sort of on and off for the last 6 years. But work brought my partner here. And then also for me, it's, you know, for the last year and a half, I've been working with Luce in the Yakuza sort of consistently. So it made sense for me to be here also, because I also spend a lot of time in Toronto. But I love Europe. I lived in Spain before I lived in France. I'm leaving now, as I was saying before. I'm going to be going to the United States next year, and I'm excited but also nervous, because I love living in a place sort of steeped in culture. So it's like,
Paris is like amazing for like kind of the luxury fashion music videos. It's really, really artistic there. And then to go to like more of a commercialized sort of like areas, it's a different kind of shift.
Yeah, I mean, it will be different. I mean, in a way, my personal, like what I'm looking to do more of in the future is actually more on the narrative side of things. So moving away from sort of like advertising. I mean, I still love advertising, but like I'm a bit more excited about longer format projects. So I think it makes sense for me to go to the States in a way.
It's fascinating because a lot of people, a lot of directors that I speak to who've been doing it for a long time, who are high in the kind of game for like music videos and commercials, they always generally go into the narrative. Like they've done like the commercial, they've done the music videos for a long time, and now they're like, okay, I'm hungry now for more. Narrative's the next thing. Was that in the cards for you for a long
time? Yeah, it's you know what? When I first started directing, I didn't have a clear objective. I wasn't someone who grew up going, oh, I'm going to be a director. And I didn't have, as a young person, I was very, I was creative and there was things I liked and I loved music, but I wasn't someone who had very specific aspirations. And then I've lost my train of thought. What were we talking about? Going into narrative. So when I started, I was obsessed with music videos, and that, you know, that obsession still stands. I really do love doing music videos, and I've done them for many years. And, you know, advertising kind of folds into music videos quite easily. And so I've also done a lot of that. And at a certain point, it's like, for me as a director, it's like, you just want to work on things that are just go a little bit deeper. You know, you want to have sit down and, you know, I shot a feature film last year, and, you know, just we shot for 18 days with the same crew, with the actors, and versus a music video or a commercial is like 2-3 days, you know, like it's really satisfying to be able to go deeper into a project and to spend a lot of time thinking about the tone and what's driving the characters. And, you know, so all of those things is just, of course, I think most directors do want to move into narrative because it's sort of the you know, it's the pinnacle in a way, right? Like it's sort of, it's where it goes, you know? So
yeah.
I don't know. I love short projects also, but
when you were younger,
I feel like I've done a lot of it.
When you were younger, you were saying about you didn't really have like an aspiration. Do you feel like that sort of helped you in your career? Like some people are very goal orientated and they're like, I want to be here, I want to be working in that. And you maybe weren't like that. Do you feel like that helped your kind of journey and not be like disappointed if you didn't get something, or I don't know?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, when I think about my, you know, I'm one of six kids. I'm a part of a big family. And when I was when I was little, I wasn't a great student necessarily. I was artistic kind of, you know, but I wasn't like an amazing, like there's a lot of artists in my family, like painters and stuff like that. My sister's a painter. My grandmother's a painter. My aunt's a painter. My cousin's a painter. And then there's like some writers and stuff. And so art has always been around me. And, but I didn't have that thing that I was specifically driven to. I was into like boys and smoking cigarettes. And I was like a kind of a regular teenager in a way. Yeah. And then in high school, I started to study art, and that's what clicked for me was art and art history. And I realized I had a real sort of affinity for studying, talking about art, writing about, you know, it's just, I love doing that. And that's what I studied in university was art history. Mm-hmm. And I think that plays a lot into my career now and the things I love and the sort of sources I tend to go to for inspiration. And then when I got out, so I thought at one point I would maybe work in the art world, like maybe curating that kind of thing. But I lived in Canada. The art scene there is, it exists, but it definitely didn't feel like at that time a very flourishing situation. So I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll work in film. And then I sort of stumbled my way into directing, like is the truth. You know, I was sort of working towards being a producer. And then the person who was my boss was like, you're going to be a really bad producer. Like, you should think about directing instead. And I was like, oh, yeah, maybe I should. And I loved music videos. And I pretty much spent my brothers and sisters make fun of me because I was on the older side of the family. And their memory of me is just like watching MTV and much like in Canada, there's a channel called Much Music. And that's pretty much how I spent my teen years. It's just like watching music videos all the time.
I just do that constantly. I just watch music videos all the time. Yeah. Like my sister's watching.
Yeah, me too.
My sister's watching TikTok and I'm like literally watching, go on promo news, watching all the music videos and the old stuff and just like, and then I'm the type of person that I literally like rewind like 7 times where if I see something I'm like, I don't understand how that happened. I'm like, I need to know how it happened and why I really like it.
You know what I do? I get obsessed with like on a dance level. Like I was thinking maybe I should put them out on Instagram or something one day, but I get really obsessed about one backup dancer. Like imagine like I'll look at like old Usher videos.
Yeah.
And I'll
be
like, oh yeah, I remember that one guy. And I'll like, and I'll be like, this one guy is just so perfectly like in the pocket in the background. And I'll watch it like 20 times, like just to see this little repeated like sort of dance perfection moment.
Yeah.
I get really obsessed about
it. So that kind of goes swiftly on to my next question then. Why is dance such a big part of your work? Sometimes like directors or people have had like a dance background and then they kind of merge it to their kind of work, or their family was in the dance world. And they're like, oh, I grew up around it. Mm-hmm. Like Henry Schofield, I think his mum was like a dancer or something like that. And so he's very well known within the dance, like his music videos.
Yeah.
What's your kind of connection to dance and how did it kind of infiltrate?
It's, you know, it's very, I did some dance when I was young. I love to dance. Like I like dancing at a party or, you know, I'm very someone who I'm not a dancer. I would not call myself a dancer, but I do love dancing. But you know, the very first job I did that was really a dance piece was a Gnarls Barkley video called Going On.
Yeah, which did very, very well.
Like it was so long ago. Which I think something connected there, you know, where I was in Jamaica, I got to cast all the dancers. And I had really specific ideas about what I wanted, you know, like formations and sort of narrative ideas to be told through the dance. And I actually sort of struggled with the choreographer on that video, I remember, because he was coming from a much more sort of like American kind of like, I'm gonna choreograph this like in a pop video way. And the dancers, like we're in Jamaica, this is like a 2000 and what year, like 9 or something, 10. And dancers are incredible. Like they're probably the best dancers in the world at that moment. You know, like they were just so incredible. And the choreographer was trying to sort of teach them more Western style choreography. And I was like, stop. Like, you know, so I was really tuned into this kind of regional talent and wanting to sort of shape it into a story. And then the choreographer did really help once he sort of understood what I was trying to do, which I didn't even really know. I was sort of discovering that. That video just like, you know, it did turn out like there's such a warmth and there's just something so specific to that video. And then that kind of set the course for all of this dance stuff that I guess I just had a real taste for it and I just loved it. And I love working with dancers. I love looking at their faces. I feel for me, like as a filmmaker, like out of all of the exciting things you get to shoot, like to put a camera in front of dance that is really, and when it's really working with the music, like it just gives me goosebumps. Like for me, that's the easiest, best fun thing to shoot. Because
it's strange, isn't it? That like you look at when you have dancers on set and then you look at them on the monitor and the things that they can do with their bodies. And then I love it because I'm so used to, I'm trained for a long, long time in the dance world. So I'm so used to seeing these bodies do things. But my thing is that when someone is amazing, I always look at the people around me to see their faces when they're seeing it on the monitor. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, see their amazement and their shock and to see like how dance can make you feel. That for me is a really great quality. And as much as I get amazed by it, these incredible people, because I've seen it for a long time, but I love just looking around going, you're really feeling this. You understand how brilliant and amazing they are to do what they do.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's really exciting. And I love, I just, I love street dance. I love street dancers. I love getting to know dancers in different dance scenes in the world. And, you know, like me and my producer, Jenny McGinnis, she's in New York, and we've done all of these jobs together, like all of them, all the ones that people know me for. And they've just been like the best experiences of our life. Like, okay, we're going to go to LA and we're going to hire like Chicago footwork dancers, and we're going to dress them in, you know, like I love taking dancers and putting them in a different, like not, like I love putting them in a sort of a surreal or unexpected setting, you know, like where it's not just like, okay, dancers like in an alley, like street dance, you know, like I like to take it somewhere else, you know.
Sure, for sure. And it's just going to be, I think when you move to the States, it's going to be a totally different vibe as well. Like just work and like.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Like
how
like the Bay has so much. Dance.
Yeah. How is it like when you're not working, how do you find, what do you do with yourself? Like, are you one of these, there's that saying that when people are creative, like they're obsessive, like they always think about ideas, like they're just like looking around all the time. Are you similar that like that? Or do you have like a kind of, when you're not working, you shut off and you go do running and yoga or whatever it is?
I mean, I don't have a ton of time because I'm a mom of three kids, number one. So I don't have like unlimited amounts of free time, but in my free time, I mean, I love bike riding through cities, and I like being in Paris, which has been really frustrating this year, but I love spending my time like walking through galleries. And, you know, that's where I get so much inspiration, is from paintings, from sculpture, from architecture, like architecture less actually, but like, you know, Paris is so like fanciful, like a lot of the architecture here is quite beautiful. So I like to read. I don't read as much as I actually should, but I used to be like a really voracious, fast reader. I love Russian writers from the ye olde kind of period. What else do I like?
Do you also paint as well? Is it in your family?
Not really. Like I'm gonna, I can show you.
Yeah, because I'm seeing all these beautiful.
There's one painting here that is mine. I'm just gonna get it. Do you want me to take you on a tour of the paintings?
Yeah, why not?
Very podcasty, but here, I'll show you this one. I painted this one when I was 14. So, and it's a copy of a Cezanne.
Oh wow.
So I can sort of paint,
you can definitely paint.
Yeah, but I'm not, I mean, it's something I should maybe go back to one day. My aunt is always saying, oh, you need to paint. But like my sister, for example, is like the painter in the family, so.
Does she actually paint for a living? Or is it just like a kind of hobby thing that she just paints?
My sister or?
Yeah. Is she like a?
No, she's a painter. She has an MFA and yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. She's a proper.
I'll show you one of hers. She's really good. This is a painting of my mother.
Oh, wow. You can't see it, people, but it's incredible.
Yeah. Like artistic girl. I write is what I'm trying to do the most. Like I'm writing a feature script. So
yeah, because it must be so, it can't be too different to writing like an advertisement, like treatment or whatever, but obviously it's just more of a kind of journey and that's just sort of a longer script.
I mean, I think writing is writing, and I have spent my entire career like pitching for work and you know, writing pitches and writing music video ideas. And so it is something I have gotten used to and I do enjoy. It is hard, like I'm not gonna lie, that it's sitting down and just puking out an idea is it's not the easiest thing to do, but it is really rewarding when it works out. So yeah, I've been kind of priming myself, I think, for this moment for a long time.
Yeah. And what kind of things are you interested in writing about? Are you kind of a political, are you social, like are these kind of like fairy tales? I'm interested to know where your kind of mind goes from your previous work of like music videos and commercials.
You mean like the project that I'm specifically writing right now, or just what I like to write?
Just in general. What in general, yeah, what you like to write.
I mean, I feel like, I think there's a certain level of politics and things to, you know, for example, like with my music video work, I remember I got a brief once where the brief was like, and the artist wants to kill someone and all of this kind of bloodshed. And it was like this sort of violent brief.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, and this is sort of early in the pandemic. And I'm like, I'm not gonna, like, I can't write something. Like, I don't feel like that's what needs to be put out in the world right now, you know, random, useless violence, you know? So I make sort of decisions, like vetting what I'm going to write. But when I sit down to write, I usually, if it's a music video, I try to get to sort of the essence of the artist and the song, you know, like that's what I'm sort of searching for. Mm. At least, you know, I try to find something that feels sort of sublime. You know, I'm kind of searching for something just, you know, like when you sort of
yummy,
like,
yummy, yummy,
you know, yeah, you know. And then for my own project, I'm writing, it's sort of a family history that's being translated into, it's sort of a dark family history, actually, that's my true family history. And I'm doing sort of family therapy in a script, essentially.
Oh, wow.
But I'm writing it with my two sisters also. Like, I'm actually writing it, but as for the project, I'm working on it with my two sisters because it feels a bit intense to take on my own, so.
And obviously with these sort of like projects, you got to kind of commit yourself to like 2, 3, 4 years to get it all into, to be
working
quite dark and quite personal. It's huge. Quite intense.
Yeah, it's a bit, I think that's why it's taken me this long too, because I've had it sort of on the burner for a few years already. But this year I am releasing sort of my first feature film, which I didn't write, but I directed. And so now I kind of know what that experience is like, and I'm super keen just to do it again. So, and I also know that just the way as a director, like I'm in the sort of writing phase right now, but you know, there will be other jobs in between and sort of pauses and stuff like that.
Sure. I'd love to know,
like it's important, yeah.
I'd love to know, because we talk about authenticity and like when you, even when you're first coming up as a director or even as a person, as a human, you're finding what you do like and don't like. And I think there comes a point maybe in your life where you go, okay, this is what I really like and this is what I don't like.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious on like that brief that you had with the artist saying, I wanted to kill someone, whatever. What do you, because you seem like you know your authentic self and you know what you do like. When you're in those moments when you're not maybe aligned with the brief or the kind of project, do you then step away, or do you then try to manipulate it into something that you go, okay, I really resonate with that now because it's got my own intention on it?
I mean, I think I've been good at, and maybe in some cases have even sort of passed on things that I shouldn't have, but I've been pretty good at saying no, you know, when it just feels like I've come to learn that the projects that are going to resonate and that are going to do well are the ones that I feel great about, you know, where I feel whether it's the story or the artist or the music or the, you know, the creative brief is, if there's something that I can connect to that I feel inspired by, then the project will work. But if I try to force it and I'm not that into it, or I don't really like the song, or I don't feel comfortable with the content, then in the few cases where I've just been like, well, I should just do this just to push myself, it's usually not worked out very well. So I've kind of come to learn that.
But also like you won't put the time into it maybe, or like the energy on set.
Yeah, it's like you, exactly, yeah. I mean, there's sometimes too where, for example, the movie that I just finished, I was really uncomfortable. You know, I read the script and I was really excited, but it was really so, the writer is also the star of the film. And, you know, it was so, it's the first time I had was really being asked to interpret someone else, and not everything that she connected to was something that I felt really strongly about. So it took me a long time to sort of build up. There was many moments where I was like, I don't want to do this movie. Like I should do my own movie, should be mine. I should finish writing my script. And, And I almost passed on it, and I'm so glad I didn't, because in the end, I think it was a great experience, and I kind of got a big lesson in collaboration and really kind of getting to work with other artists, and it was great. So there's been times where I've like almost said no, and then I said yes, and then I've been really happy. And then there's also been lots of times in my life where I've said no, just because I know, like in that case of the one, of the violent one, it was like, it was a huge video, it was a big artist, a big budget. And I felt really crazy for saying no to it. But I just knew that I was kind of spinning my wheels, like that I was not gonna be the right, like I think she went and made that video, and it did great for her, but it's just like, I'm not the right person for you for that.
Yeah. You know, has there been,
and I'm pretty aware of that.
Obviously I know that you should never regret, but like, is there anything mm-hmm. that you should have done or could have done that you've gone, oh, and it did really, really well. And you go, maybe if I did take that, I would have done that. And is there anything like that you've ever had?
Yeah, definitely. Like I remember being sent, like way back in the day, like the very first like Dua Lipa track. And I was like, nah, I'm not into that. And now I look at her, she's so fantastic. And I would love to work with her. But the first time I heard one of her songs, I was like, man, I'm not super into pop music in a way. So, like yeah, I really yeah, prefer yeah. more like R&B and like hip hop sort of music and stuff. So I get sent like a lot of pop stuff because, you know, my work is sort of pop in some ways. But yeah, I kind of regret that for sure. So that's the thing. It's like you're trying to navigate your career and you're trying to make the right decisions. And it's tough. And I feel like directors and artists in general are, you know, we just kind of vacillate between this, like, I love myself, I'm amazing, to like, I'm the worst, I'll never work again. You know, like, it's just a constant artists. Roller coaster.
But even, this is what I was saying, I think, before the Zoom, it's like, it's lovely to kind of see and hear from like your own personal experience of like your journey, because we obviously see you as in your career and who you worked with. But even at your level now, and you've worked with some amazing artists and brands, do you feel have times that you're just like, I'm never going to work again? Or do you like, okay, I've kind of made it now, like people know who I am, I'm gonna do this next thing?
You know what, it's, I think that's part of the thing of like moving into narrative and things like that. It's like, it depends. Like the music video game, I think, has love for me. So I feel like I'll always hopefully be able to, I hope I'll be able to be one of those directors who can continue to do music videos, like,
yeah,
hopefully until I don't want to, or, you know, we'll see. But it's so competitive. And then advertising is like, forget about it, like the most competitive. So that's why I feel like if you're not careful, you will maybe find yourself out of work. Like it's just, there's a lot of directors, and like, for example, right now, like yesterday I interviewed for like a TV show. And like, so I've been starting to get into TV. Like, I feel like at a certain point, you need to sort of keep evolving in this world, just as you are, you know, like, you know, it's like, okay, you're doing movement direction, doing choreography, you're doing podcast hosting. Like, it's like, you have to stay sort of agile, because I think there's no, like, just look at the history of any director. It's like they all have their peaks. Like even Mark Romanek, like, probably would love to get more his phone ringing a little bit more. You know what I mean? Like it's like our lives, you know, there's always like the who's hot, who, you know, it's so competitive in this situation. So I've had like crazy busy periods and way less busy periods. I mean, this year too, with COVID and everything, it's been super frustrating. Like I have done some work, but like way less than I'm used to, and it's been tough.
So as we sort of round up our podcast, one thing I always ask my guests is to kind of give back to our audience. And is there anything that you've kind of been inspired by, or someone's kind of give you advice, or anything that you would give back to someone else?
Give me advice.
Could even be like a film that you really resonated with, or a music video, or anything like that.
Well, actually, I'll tell you a funny story. Like the script that I'm writing right now, I wrote the initial treatment for it a lot, like I'd say 7 years ago or something like that. And I showed it to a producer who I sort of trusted, and who I was considering maybe that he would be able to help me make the film. And the story was quite fantastic, you know, like it had a lot of sort of sci-fi and fantasy elements. And his response to me was quite cold. It was like, or not cold, but it was a bit disappointing. He read the treatment and he was like, you should write closer to what you know, like closer to yourself. And that at the time I was like, no, whatever, like you're wrong and how dare you? And you know, I was super offended. And then in a way, just because I was busy doing other things and I sort of dropped the project a little bit. And now I've picked it back up and I realized that so much of it actually had these little tiny ties to way more of a personal story. Mm-hmm. And now I'm rewriting it from that lens of really trying to tell something hyper specific to me, and it was working so much better. So I feel like, you know, I think when you're writing or you're creating, I think versus looking constantly outside for inspiration, I think it's, you know, it's nice to maybe sit down and think about like the little tiny things that make you who you are and try to get that out a little bit. Like even though my work is, I don't think it represents me like white girl from Canada, like from Chile and Canada, you know, but when I think about all the things that inspire me, like I spent a lot of time in church as a kid and I feel like those kind of ceremonies and those little touches are, it's kind of what I try to instill into my work. So I don't know. I think I just rambled that answer, but.
No, that totally makes sense. Makes absolute sense. Yeah. Listen to more of yourself and kind of the nuances of yourself rather than constantly seeking inspiration outside, because sometimes you'll find it inside.
Yeah, or just like, you know, I think, I guess another thing too would be like, I think for directors, I think it's smart, or people wanting to work in film, like, like think about the things that you really love, like that you truly, truly love and try to funnel that into your work. And then people will start, like, that's, I think, what ends up creating things that people are like, oh, like react, you know, that'll resonate with people.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, you know? So I wanna say, thank you so much for coming on 360 Yourself. It's been an absolute pleasure to get to know you a bit better. And I said before,
thank you.
Recording that I'm a massive fan of yours and have been for a year. So it's,
you're so sweet.
It's nice thank to actually you. Get to know you a bit better. So thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. No problem. Thanks, JP. Well, I hope we meet in person one day.
I hope so.
This is 360 Yourself and I'm Jamie Neal. Thank you very much for taking a moment to listen to our wonderful guests. Please subscribe to our podcast to access all our brilliant guest episodes. They are released every Sunday at 12 p.m. We are available on all listening platforms, Spotify, Pocket Casts, Overcast, Google Podcasts and Castro. You can also find us on Instagram at 360_yourself, Twitter at yourself360, and our host at Jamie Neal JN. Thank you for listening.